It is a beautiful day. I love this weather, cooler weather. It can stay like this year round. Anyways, in a few minutes, we are going to partake of the Lord's Supper. Before we do this, I'd like to discuss one purpose of the observance of the Lord's Supper. If you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 34. I'm going to read these verses. Let's take a little bit. But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, in order that those who are proved may have become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? And this I will not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he has betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord in order that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you may not come together for judgment, and the remaining matters I shall arrange when I come. In Paul's teaching, and the teaching of the Gospels on the institution of the Lord's Supper, as an act of faith and worship, we will see that there are some clear purposes given for why we should be obedient in the observance of the communion publicly. Let us consider one of those purposes this morning. While doing so, we should think about what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ, what it means to live like a Christian, the responsibilities, goals, and blessings of being a Christian. The purpose that I would like to discuss today is the remembering the purpose of Jesus' death. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24, which I just read, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The first purpose of the communion is to give a physical and visible reminder, to take time to stop and contemplate why Jesus died on the cross. I'm sure most of you are like me. I have to set alarms and set calendar reminders, or I'll miss meetings and deadlines. We need visible and physical reminders. And God knew that. The observance of the Lord's Supper is like the alarm or setting that calendar. The observance itself is not the fulfillment of our obligations of worship. It simply reminds us to take the time to stop and remember why Jesus died and the impact that truth should have on our every thought, action, and word. What Jesus did for us on the cross is what continually set the direction of our lives and what gives it purpose. Let's turn to Romans 5, 6 through 8. For while we were still helpless, in the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for the righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sin separated us from God. Our sins made us enemies of God. Even though we angered God, he still sent his son to die on the cross to pay the debt of our sins. Please turn with me to Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. All our iniquities fell on Jesus. As we prepare to partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine this morning, we need to take our minds back to that cross. Remember that suffering that Jesus did for us. The men would come forward.